Hour number two of the Weekend Huddle, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Christian Skelton here with you. Real quick, let me tell you, if you're looking for a great spot to pregame before the Titans-Texans game tomorrow, stop by John Bon Jovi's. JBJ's has the best food on Broadway, cold beer and cocktails, and stunning skyline views, including two epic rooftops. Catch the pregame show this Sunday on 102.5 The Game, or I'm sorry, next Sunday on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Parman Tractor and Equipment, Circa Sportsboat Kentucky, Tennessee Brewworks, and Old National Bank. Thank you.
But
I'll be here all night reading liners. As always, at 10 a.m., we react to the poll results of the weekend poll. You still have approximately 3 minutes to vote, so the results are not fully in. However, it's looking pretty spectacularly for one certain goat. The question of the day, patent pending, which of these goats is the most revolutionary to the sport? Your options were Michael Jordan, Tom Brady, Wayne Gretzky, or Willie Mays. And the results are now in. Michael Jordan wins the poll with 53.7% of you listeners voting for his airness. In second, Wayne Gretzky with 33.3 votes. Willie Mays comes in third with 7.4, and Tom Brady at 5.6. So, his airness wins the GOAT. He is the most revolutionary to his sport, it seems. Do we agree with this?
I'd probably say yeah in some aspects. Yeah, I'd say yes in some aspects. I mean, you look at the other options and Wayne Gretzky, Tom Brady, Willie Mays. I'm surprised that Tom Brady is the, I guess, lowest in percentage of voting when it comes to all this, 5.6. And you look at Willie Mays at 7.4. Again, you have Wayne Gretzky, who is respectfully number two on this poll, but I'd give a little bit more credit to Willie Mays. The fact that, obviously, I'm being a baseball homer.
I knew you would.
I'm going to give a little bit of info on that. Obviously, being one of those players that kind of revolutionized the game as a black baseball player, but especially his five-tool athleticism. Everybody remembers that incredible catch in the 1954 World Series. I think that's something, and even if I wasn't even born then, but if you watch MLB Network and you just study up on the game of baseball and the history of it, that sticks out in everybody's brain, you know? So that's some aspects of it. Again, a five-tool player that was fast. I'd say you could say his athleticism for sure, talking about just the way he's able to go after baseballs and so forth. But a guy that, when you talk about baseball, you can't talk about it without saying Willie Mays.
Yeah.
That to me is what is a revolutionary player when it comes to the respected sport or just sports in general.
Yeah. I mean, if you were to ask me of these four who it is, it's Mike. Yeah. I want to be like Mike. Yeah. He's got the song. He's got the shoe. I'm wearing the shoes right now.
Gatorade commercials.
He's the sponsor. Yeah. Michael Jordan is the most revolutionary player across all sports. But I would say a close second for me is Wayne Gretzky.
Hmm.
Look at the NHL record books. Wayne Gretzky tops the majority of them because of the way he played and how good at hockey he was. And I wasn't around in the 80s, but in talking to people that were around in the 80s, he made hockey cool in a league that didn't have a lot of following. A lot of kids around the area, around the country, were Edmonton Oilers fans because of what Wayne Gretzky was able to do and because of the eyes he brought to that product. So Wayne Gretzky, I think, would be number two for me, but it's Michael Jordan.
Isn't it crazy for me that I said Willie Mays over Tom Brady in this revolutionary poll?
Tom Brady is an interesting...
I was shocked when I saw the numbers.
Yeah, I was too. Tom Brady, to me, is an interesting conversation because in terms of the greatest player of all time in the NFL, it's probably him just because of the amount of rings he has and the success he has.
Yeah.
But I think there are certain quarterbacks across history you can look at and are probably a little bit more talented than Tom Brady was. Like, I think Joe Montana may be a more talented quarterback than Tom Brady is. Dan Marino may be a more talented quarterback than Tom Brady was, but they didn't have the success and didn't elevate their team the way Tom Brady did. So that's why Tom Brady gets the nod. But football and baseball are similar in that they're position-based as far as who's the GOAT. Like, Willie Mays is probably the greatest outfielder of all time. In terms of pitching, which is a completely separate game, I mean, Bob Gibson gets the nod. You could talk, maybe throw Clayton Kershaw in that conversation.
100%. 100% Clayton Kershaw.
Really?
Yep, 100%. I would even include guys like Max Scherzer. Sure, Justin Verlander is not the best right now because he's at the latter end of his career. I would include Verlander in that conversation. I'm trying to think of some other ones. Chris Carpenter, obviously one of those Cardinals that we have been accustomed to.
Waino.
Yeah, Waino's in there. I'm trying to think of some other ones. Pedro Martinez.
Would you throw Shohei in there?
100%.
Yeah?
Yep. Well, Shohei Ohtani should be at the top of that list.
Yeah. Nolan Ryan.
Look, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, after watching this, yeah, Randy Johnson, at Paul Skeens, I would throw him in that conversation, even though he's only a second-year guy. But after watching this past World Series, Yamamoto is definitely making a true case for saying, I am the best pitcher in Major League Baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And it is definitely showing. The fact that you can go throw 100-plus pitches and throw a complete game and then go back out there in the bullpen and close out a game in extra – not extra. Yeah, it was extra. Excuse me. You go in there and close out a game in extras. That takes some grit. That shows you got some dog in you, and that means your arm is a rubber band, and it can go as long as you want.
Mm.
So that's where I stand with all that.
It's Michael Jordan to me. A texter raises an interesting point that – he's 100% correct on. 2181 says baseball was already popular. Without MJ, the NBA isn't here like it is today, and he's right. Look at the ratings difference between the Bird era and the Magic Johnson era compared to the NBA of the early to mid-90s. As Dustin in Hopkinsville puts it, he'll never forget, no cell phones, no 4K, sitting in front of the box TV with an antenna watching those playoff games with his dad, with Michael Jordan, Dennis Rodman, Steve Kerr, Scottie Pippen, Tony Kukoc, that whole team, which is the greatest team of any sport of all time, that 95-96 Bulls team. Mm. It's Mike. Mike is the GOAT. And don't give me – I'm surprised we haven't gotten texts on this. Don't give me the LeBron crap.
Agreed.
Don't give
me I'm glad we all agree on this, on this show. Good. This is good to see.
I'll tell you right now, after watching those NBC videos, I'm pretty sure the rest of America is saying, yeah, why are we glorifying a guy like LeBron James? This guy, Michael Jordan, still wants to play even though he's 60-something years old. Yeah.
LaFlop.
Yeah, we can all agree that Michael Jordan is the real deal.
The other best part about what the texter said of that nostalgia is – arguably one of the greatest sports themes of all time that the NBA.
Well, I mean, ABC. The University of Nebraska uses it for football.
Well, that is true. That is a good one. I was talking about the NBC theme more so.
Ramel Rock?
Yes, which is so great to
which
have back.
Which is one of the greatest SNL skits of all time.
Yes. Also, so many great things came from that song. But yes, the Sirius is always – Sirius goes crazy.
Yes. Kentucky basketball uses Sirius now.
Do they really?
Thank you, Mark Pope. He's a 90s kid. I don't blame him. But if you were to give me one last, I think I would say Tom Brady. Because the impact Willie Mays has on the game of basketball. Look, no, you can't tell the story of any of these sports without these four people.
Sure.
But Willie Mays, the impact he had on modern baseball, you wouldn't have players tracking down balls in the outfield without Willie Mays.
No.
Not the way he did it. Wayne Gretzky is the role model, the gold standard for hockey. And no one has really ever come close. I mean, Alex Ovechkin has the scoring title, but it took him way longer to get that. And, you know, Wayne got that in a lot shorter time. And then Tom Brady, of course, has 7 rings. But football's so position-based, you can go around pretty much any position and say he's the greatest of all time in that position. Tom Brady just happens to be a quarterback, which is the most important position in sports. So,
yeah, I'm getting some flack on the text line real quick before we go to break. I apologize, 6807. He did say, how did you leave out Greg Maddux?
Oh, yes. You made the Braves fans mad.
I made the Braves fans mad. I apologize, being a Cardinals guy.
Do you have to say Smoltz and Glavin with Maddux as well now? Do you have to say both of them too?
That's a good question.
Are you allowed to mention any of them without mentioning the other two? Is that even legal?
It's like the Beatles. If you mention Paul McCartney, you got to mention Ringo Starr and George, and you got to mention them all. I apologize, 6807, but yes, Greg Maddux does belong on that list.
Isn't he a broadcaster now?
Maddux?
No.
Smoltz is. Smoltz does the World Series every year. Yeah, he's like on Fox's main team.
One of them is on the Braves call, too.
I think
I think they do a game or two every year where they just have, like, I think it's Chipper, maybe. I don't know if it's Glavin or Maddux, but.
Glavin's on the call. Yeah. I know he is.
I do know Chipper's on 680 a lot.
I think all three of them do something of some sort in some capacity.
Exactly.
With broadcasting. They probably all do. We're just getting it mixed up.
But. Right. Well, but yeah, for sure.
You're talking to a lot of non-Braves fans here.
Yes, three NL Central fans.
Just the other two teams that people root for in this area that have red as a primary color.
Yes.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our text lines and phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. When we come back, we'll get into the massive slate of college football games today. Texas and Georgia, a top 10 showdown. Can Texas still get into the college football playoff at 9-3, assuming they beat one of Georgia or Texas A&M? It would be a conversation. And is Alabama an SEC lock with a win today over Oklahoma? We'll get into that next here on the Weekend Huddle. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Christian Skelton here with you on 102.5 The Game. One of his best songs, in my opinion. Also one of the best Family Guy bits of all time. Smooth Criminal. Welcome back in Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Christian Skelton here with you. And it has slipped my mind that I've forgotten to give one of the most important shout-outs of the day. Congratulations to the Kentucky Wildcats volleyball team for winning their 9th consecutive SEC championship. No applause needed.
Nice.
Nice.
Very important shout out to give today. They won last night against Oklahoma in 5 sets to clinch at least a share of the SEC. Then they play Arkansas on Sunday, who is essentially a middle school team. So should be locked.
Is Calipari coaching that team too?
No, it is Craig Skinner, who is an absolute beast of a coach. I don't know a lot about volleyball, but I do know.
Oh, that's Kentucky's volleyball coach.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, you know Arkansas's volleyball coach. That's impressive. That makes more sense. Okay.
Full disclosure, I've caved to Disney's money, which seems to be a mistake now that YouTube TV and ESPN have finally decided to pull their pants up and be big boys. I caved to the ESPN greed, and for an additional $10, I now have ESPN Unlimited. So I've been watching random stuff I would never watch if I didn't have it. I ended up watching Kentucky volleyball last night against Oklahoma. So
True blue.
You got to feel like you're getting your money's worth. I feel you.
Yeah. Well, I get wrestling now, which is good. I probably use it to watch 100 Miles of Hate today, I believe. They kick off at 2:30 over in Bowling Green. So get your money's worth. ESPN Unlimited. This isn't an advertisement, but it's worth it. I like it. Let's talk about a little bit of college football today. There was a little bit of breaking news during the break. Texas A&M head coach Mike Elko has signed an extension with the Aggies. So, contrary to popular belief, he's not going anywhere. And why would he? Because it's a great job. He's got them rolling. They are no longer Texas 8-4. They've got a legitimate chance to go undefeated. But one of the teams they've got to play is a team in action today over in Athens, Georgia. The Texas Longhorns taking on the Georgia Bulldogs. And Jake and I kind of got into this conversation yesterday. If Texas goes 9-3, that would mean they would have to win one of the two games between Georgia and Texas A&M. And, of course, they have another game in between that. But if they go 9-3, would you consider them deserving to get into the college football playoff?
Oh, boy. My mind is telling me no.
But my body's telling me yes? As Bobby Brown once said?
Yes.
There you go.
I think the committee's going to say yes to something like that. Primarily, it's the brand.
Yep.
The brand. The Texas brand is bigger than a 10-2 Vanderbilt, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think so, which is frustrating.
Because the head-to-head's different.
I understand the argument because they have the head-to-head victory. There is one loss that Texas has that I think should keep them out, and that's losing to Florida. It's a really bad loss to a really bad Florida team. And to tell you how bad they are, the worst team in the SEC just beat them 38-7. So,
hey, you're not the worst team in the SEC. They are.
Yes.
That's what that game proved.
Yeah, it is.
There's something that we've seen in the last 48 hours about the whole changing of the chairs when it comes to the Utah athletic director. And you guys talked about it yesterday, Jake and yourself, that because of that changing of the guard, and there was that case for, oh, Utah should be one of those top teams that should be in the college football playoff. We all know that this committee, you could say there's some form of committee bias, and Jake's even mentioned this. Games in late November matter more than those games in August. Mm-hmm. If the record shows they're a 9-3 team. We're going to start seeing, and because of this, it's a terrible thing, but we're going to start seeing teams that are 9-3 get into the playoff because of one, brand bias, and two, because they're hotter than the team that was hot early on in the season, like a Georgia Tech, like a Vanderbilt. Now, I'm not saying Vanderbilt's fallen off, nor has Georgia Tech, but there's a different winning pedigree when it comes to teams like Texas and Georgia,
right,
if they have a three loss, because the committee knows and the rest of America knows there's a narrative underneath that they can perform at the highest level possible.
Right.
Whereas Vanderbilt and Kentucky, or it's not Kentucky, excuse me, Vanderbilt and Georgia Tech, there's still that question mark by their name. Can they perform at the highest level? And that's the thing that's really holding people back, in my opinion.
Yeah, you're right. Some of it is brand value. I think it's some of it is TV markets looking at, okay, what would the national audience like to see? Mm-hmm. Texas and Notre Dame play each other, or Vanderbilt in Indiana? And I think the mass majority of audiences across the country are going to want to see those big-name teams like Notre Dame, like Texas, like Georgia, like Alabama play each other, as opposed to Vanderbilt, who, outside of Nashville, no discredit to them, doesn't have the fan base or that national following that Notre Dame does or Texas does or Oklahoma or someone like that. It's name value. But I would be very upset if a 10-2 Vanderbilt was left out of the playoff for a 9-3 Texas.
Look, you mentioned 9-3 Texas. There's another team that could go 9-3, and I think they would be in way over Vanderbilt, unfortunately.
Do they play today in Pittsburgh?
They do.
Yep.
If they lose by one possession or less, one possession or more. If they lose by I had it right. I'm not thinking correctly. If they lose by one possession, that's it. If they lose by one possession, 3 points, 7 points. If they lose by 10 points now we're getting to the fine line of, do we include Notre Dame in the playoff? And the only reason why I say they're included, it's that TV deal with NBC.
Yep.
The committee knows about that, you know? I mean, I see Christian back there nodding his head, but what are your thoughts on that?
My thing, if one of the playoff games was actually on NBC, I think that I can maybe kind of hear what you're saying. But in my opinion, if Notre Dame loses this game today, you're 9-3.
They are out.
Yeah, you've lost to A&M, Miami, which the Miami lost a lot better a few weeks ago than it does right now. And Pittsburgh, I mean, I just don't see how. This scenario we're talking about, Vandy wins out, correct?
Right.
Yeah, I think Vandy's in over them for sure.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but when Notre Dame played Indiana last year, was that game not on NBC?
No, it was ESPN. ESPN, yeah.
Really?
Because it marked the first time in like 25 years that Notre Dame was televised on ESPN.
At home, yeah.
At home.
Yeah.
At home.
Because that's like their TV deal. Their home games are on NBC. Yeah.
Interesting. I guess I just flubbed that in the brain. I thought that was an NBC game. So, yeah, never mind. That null and voids my thought then. Interesting.
I completely would hear you if it was on NBC for sure.
Yeah, okay.
Don't get me wrong, yeah.
Yeah, excuse my take there. Null and void on that. That's lack of reporting, not reporting, but lack of
reporting.
No, lack of
known beat writer for the Fighting Irish.
No, actually, I am a part of the Fighting Irish.
The Texas thing is interesting though, because I mean, do we think who they beat has anything? Like, if they beat Georgia or A&M, like, does that have any sway to it, or is it kind of an equal win either way?
I think the committee would make it a sway.
Yeah.
If arguably you could make the argument that at 9-3, on paper, Texas may have the better resume as far as wins than Vanderbilt.
And they'd have the head-to-head over them.
And they'd have the head-to-head. But I think record needs to play a factor into this.
And the losses would be way worse.
Right.
The one Florida loss would be way worse,
yeah,
too,
Yeah. Vanderbilt doesn't have anymore really the truly resume building win. Like the LSU win at the time was big.
Hey, I'm just kidding. No, you're not wrong.
The LSU win doesn't look as good anymore. South Carolina doesn't look very good. They need Missouri to keep winning, but the Missouri win doesn't look as good. Their saving grace would be if they go on the road and beat Tennessee, which also does not look as good anymore, because that would be an 8-4 Tennessee team.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I don't think that would hold as much weight as it would have a month or so ago.
If Texas goes in today into Athens and beats Georgia, they are going to jump up into the top 10. And it's going to be very, very hard to not put them in the playoff if you're the committee, because they play A&M. They play them at home. So it's going to be a thing to watch. Texas, is the X factor in this college football playoff. 615-737-1025. 2181 on our text line says, basically, if the committee leaves out a 10-2 SEC team and lets Notre Dame, who has played no one, they are in fact saying it's all about brand awareness and the cash. So
100%.
My prediction on the Texas thing is they're going to lose both these games. It's not going to matter anyway.
Oh, I agree.
But that's just me.
I agree. They're going to go 8-4. But I agree with you.
Another thing to counter off of the whole Notre Dame thing is, even if they do make the playoff at 9-3 or whatever it may be, that money that they collect from the playoff every time they win a game, that helps out with their NIL. That helps out with just roster construction in general.
And that's why they will never join a conference.
Exactly, because they get all that revenue. And
they don't have to share it. They're not in a conference. It's just directly to their program.
Right. So if there is a slew of seasons to where Notre Dame doesn't make the playoff like three straight years, that affects a lot of what they do with that football program.
Mm-hmm.
So then that means the committee's never going to let a big brand Notre Dame not make the playoff.
Yeah, I mean,
if they win. You know,
if it's reachable,
they're
going to put them in.
That's what I'm saying.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll continue the college football conversation with a big slate today. Three very massive games with college football playoff implications. I want to talk about Bama on the other side. If they win today against Oklahoma, not only is Oklahoma out, would that make Bama an absolute lock to play for an SEC title in Atlanta? We'll continue that conversation next here on the Weekend Huddle on 102.5 The Game. Oh, yeah. Apollo Creed is getting ready to fight Ivan Drago in one of the saddest moments in cinematic history in Rocky IV.
Throw the towel.
Oh, that's the best Rocky. I will take that to the grave.
That or three.
Rocky IV. Rocky IV, where he fights Drago. Two is good. The first one's incredibly overrated, in my opinion. welcome back in. Weekend Huddle is brought to you by LPL Financial Nashville and Patrick Conger. LPL Financial Nashville is your partner for whatever your future holds. Let me also tell you that on Monday, Chase and Big Joe will be broadcasting live at the all-new Circa Sportsbook Kentucky in the Mint Gaming Hall prior to the Monday night football game. The Monday night matchup is the Cowboys and the Raiders in a game that dozens will be watching.
And we mean just a dozen.
And maybe even fewer than that. Maybe a baker's dozen.
A game I was not disappointed to miss before the YouTube TV deal.
Oh, I'm going to miss the Cowboys and the Raiders?
No, it was like the Cowboys and Cardinals a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, and it was awful. Oh, come on!
Oh, man.
Anyways, let's get back into the college football discussion. So, the other big game going on today at 2:30 on ABC, I think, which you all should have access to watch now that YouTube TV and ESPN have reached an agreement.
Well, you didn't need that. You just need an antenna. It's cable. That's 245.
Bunny ears.
Yeah, don't even need anything.
Yeah, you don't. Alabama and Oklahoma doing battle in Titletown over in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. If Oklahoma loses this game, they're out. Yeah. There's no arguing that. They would have three losses and, quite honestly, not a great resume to work with. They are out. If Alabama wins this, however, I think you could absolutely lock them in for a trip to Atlanta to compete for an SEC championship. Because look at their remaining schedule. Alabama would play Oklahoma. Of course, they got to go to Jordan-Hare for the Iron Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And then they play some FCS team that you will never hear from again.
Eastern Illinois.
Oh, that's who Kentucky played last night. There we go. They are going to win out. It's no question. I understand Jordan Hare is built on some ancient voodoo burial ground, and weird stuff happens there when Alabama plays. Mm-hmm. But Auburn's just not very good. So I think Alabama is going to win out. They would have one loss on the season. It would be their very first game against Florida State, and that's a bad loss. But if you go 11-1 as an SEC team, you're a top four seed at the very least. Yeah. So,
and also, if you're talking Atlanta, that's not a conference loss, so that'll be fine.
Right. It would not really affect their seeding all that much. So I think we're trending towards a direction where Alabama and Texas A&M are going to meet in the SEC championship, which will be a phenomenal game. That said, if Alabama wins this game, they might as well start packing their bags for Atlanta because they're locked in.
Yeah. If you're a Vanderbilt fan watching this game, you're praying and hoping that Alabama wins this
football game.
Because obviously the head-to-head plays a factor into this. But if Alabama loses today, that puts them at 8-2. That puts them at the same record as Vanderbilt. And guess what?
They got a head-to-head.
They have the head-to-head, and so does Texas. Texas and Bama both have the head-to-head over Vanderbilt, and you do not want to be in that same conversation because guess what happens? The Commodores would be left out.
You are rooting, if you're a Vanderbilt fan, you are rooting for all the home teams today.
Mm-hmm.
You're rooting for Alabama. You're rooting for Georgia. You're rooting for Pitt. I think two of those three are going to cash.
Yeah.
But you are, it's a good week for Vanderbilt to be on a bye week because you're watching these games intently. You're watching, hoping that you can get a little bit of help. Now, if Vanderbilt wins out and goes 10-2, I think they are probably safely in. Mm-hmm. Maybe as, you know, a 9 or a 10 seed.
I know there's some disaster scenarios people are coming up with. I don't see any way they leave a 10-2 Vanderbilt out. I just don't
really?
See
it. I don't either.
At all.
I do.
Look,
the college football
a lot
playoff,
of bad stuff would have to not go Vanderbilt's way, in my opinion.
There's a dark cloud over Nashville, and luckily the only ray of sunshine is the Vanderbilt Commodores, and I prayed that that sunshine gleams through that darkness because there's something about this college football committee that wants these big brands in. And I get it. We're trending in that direction. But Vanderbilt is a big brand, and they need to be shown respect when it comes to stuff like that.
Selfishly, I hope that black cloud is looming just because I don't want to lose to Vanderbilt as a Tennessee fan. But that's just me.
Have you checked the YouTube chat recently?
No, I have not.
You might want to do that.
Okay.
Good. Say his name, and he appears. We believe in Trey. Let's go to our phone lines. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Trey, who has a thought. Trey, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Good morning,
Trey.
Hey, I wanted to say, I do not want – they play Kentucky next, right, Vanderbilt?
They do.
Hey, I don't want this to be a sneak game for Kentucky. You know, I don't want it to be to where we get complacent with this game and come out flat. Because we need to win this game, and we need to win the game at Neyland Stadium. Because, you know, as a Tennessee fan of sports, we play against the team, and we play against the referees. We cannot go out there and let the referees dictate the game along with the other teams. And I want to ask y'all, what y'all think the Titans going to do tomorrow since we're playing against a backup quarterback? And do you think we'll hit 21 points? And y'all have a good day. And y'all, thank y'all. Y'all have a good morning.
Thank you, Trey. So Trey basically just came on here and hypothetically blamed the referees for a Vanderbilt loss at Kentucky or against Kentucky next week.
He's really speaking that into existence.
I can't get on board with that.
I'm surprised he didn't say for the last game of the season in Knoxville. If I was a Vanderbilt fan, that would be the conspiracy theory I'd be already coming up with.
Yeah.
Another, you know the meme, another hypothetical win for the SEC. This was another hypothetical loss for Vanderbilt. So yeah. I don't really understand that. As far as the Titans question, we kind of touched on that earlier, but
that's your hope that you asked, yeah.
The Titans are going to come in here and make Davis Mills look like Dan Marino. It's going to happen. I am still befuddled that we're already blaming referees for a game a week in advance.
Yeah, that is
at home.
Gotta give it some time.
Anyways, let me ask you this. Outside of the top four currently in the college football playoff, mm-hmm. which would be Ohio State, Indiana, Texas A&M, and Alabama, do you think there is any team in the field that can compete for a national championship?
Oregon.
Oregon?
Oregon, 100%. They were my preseason darlings to win it all. Obviously, everybody always picks Oregon to do it. I really do think this team is good. Obviously, watching them play last night against versus Minnesota.
Minnesota!
Minnesota! Like, that was a game where Oregon had control of it since the start. And the second half, they called off the dogs, but they still put up 42 points.
Yeah.
That to me is a national championship contending team. It's one of those West Coast teams that always gets forgotten about, and they always show up when their number is called.
Except if they play Ohio State in the Rose Bowl.
Yes, that is besides that. But I just think Dan Lanning is one of those coaches that can get this team over the hump. With Dante Moore as their quarterback, they can do some damage.
I think if they get a good draw, I'm right there with you on Oregon. It's all draw, in my opinion, with them.
The team I think kind of hinges back and forth on contender and pretender is the team out in Oxford, Ole Miss. I think they have the offense to contend. I think they have the coach to contend. What holds them back...
For now.
Future Titan. What holds them back is their defense. The Georgia game is a prime example of how that was. Ole Miss was controlling that game. They were up by a hefty margin. Then the defense folded, and Georgia roared back and won that game. I think if they can get their defensive intensity back up and play the way that they're supposed to play, and I realize that's a challenge when Pete Golding is your defensive coordinator, who Alabama fans do not like, and I do not blame them. I think they're a contender. They just got to show me more on the defensive end of the football for me to get there.
Let me make a prediction real quick.
Okay.
Mississippi State fans sitting right here in this chair.
Are you putting on the Bulldog cap?
I am putting on the Bulldog cap, all right? It is camouflage, but it is multiversed. Mississippi State possibly will lose against Missouri today, which puts them at 5-6.
Yep.
Need to be 6 wins to get to a bowl game.
Mm-hmm.
You just talked about how there is a concern from the Ole Miss defense, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Mississippi State's defense is something else.
Look at that. So Blake Shapen is going to take advantage of that Ole Miss defense.
That's correct. Mississippi State's defense is going to show up, and they're going to show out against Ole Miss.
Just for the record, I have the Bulldogs winning in Columbia today. I think y'all win outright.
Yeah, yep. I do too.
I mean, so do
it's
I.
like 7.5, but I don't care. Missouri, they don't have a quarterback right now, and they look lost without him. So
right, so do
and
I.
I think Drinkwitz has 1 foot out the door.
Really?
I think he's headed to Gainesville.
Ooh, okay. I kind of think he's heading to State College, but I could see that as
or
well.
Or State. Well,
he's headed somewhere.
Well, it's, you know, I think Florida's first choice is obviously Lane Kiffin. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's leaving. I think their second choice is James Franklin. I think he's going to Virginia Tech. Drinkwitz, I don't think, is a bad option. Not their first choice, but I think he'd get a call.
If Mississippi State finishes out the season 7-5, Lane Kiffin will be probably contemplating where he's going next. I'm serious. If you lose in Oxford, the Egg Bowl, you are not coming back.
Is the Egg Bowl in Starkville or Oxford this year?
It's in Oxford.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
You should know this, OC. Or wait, no, that was the year after. It changes.
Yeah.
He is the offensive coordinator at your university.
Oh.
Just so you know.
I really hate to correct you guys, but this game is in Stark Vegas.
Oh!
Is it?
It is.
Whoa!
It turns out it was in Oxford last year.
Oh,
I remember that because it was on Black Friday last year, wasn't
That's
it?
That's right.
Yeah. I don't know if it is again this year or not. But
so
not
on be. ESPN, it has
looks like it is
put up. It has Ole Miss versus Mississippi State when it should be at Mississippi State.
So, Max Press moment.
Yeah. Oops.
615-737.
Trust in the technology.
1025 is the phone number. Coming up next, I'm very excited for this. Christian Skelton, as he has won last week. Hosting. Where are they now? It's me versus you, pal. And I have your number. So today is not your day.
Give me a call after the show.
Where are they now? Coming up next, our favorite game, the most up-and-coming game in the United States of America. We'll play it next here on the Weekend Huddle on 102.5 The Game. Final segment here on this beautiful Saturday morning here on the Weekend Huddle. Connor Newton, Nick Frazier, Christian Skelton here with you. It has been brought to my attention during a break that we had a caller call in and request a preview from Kentucky Connor on today's matchup between the Wildcats and the Golden Eagles of Tennessee Tech. The line is at 22.5 in favor of the Wildcats, which is a history-making moment. The Cats being favored. Look, I think Tennessee Tech is a really good team. I think, obviously, they haven't won a game, or they haven't lost a game in FCS football. They're 10-0. They're the top 5 team in the FCS. I think we got to take into account that this is two completely different levels of football. This is the highest level of college football we're talking about on the SEC front, and then the FCS. No offense to the FCS. Look, I think there's a possibility that Tennessee Tech can cover today. 22.5 is a steep number for a team that is not that great. But I think we got to take into account Mark Stoops is quietly putting together a saving grace for his job, saving his season. He's got the potential to win out and make a bowl game. So,
hey, just win one of Vandy or Louisville and you're in a bowl game.
Yeah, that's true. And I think both are winnable games.
I agree.
So
I knew Tennessee Tech was undefeated, but I didn't know they were 10-0.
Yeah, they're 10-0.
I don't know. I mean,
but they haven't played anyone.
Well,
it's again, too. I mean, it's SEC versus FCS.
But look, listen to this. You're putting up points like 72 points against Davidson, 35-8 against Tennessee State, TSU, 66-20 against Western Illinois, 27-13, 52-28 versus Lindenwood, and then the last couple games have been, 42-23 versus SEMO, 27-21, the close one with Gardner Webb, and then Eastern Illinois, who Alabama plays next week, 21-9. So
it's FCS.
I know it's FCS, but when you're putting up 72 points, 66 points, 42 points, 52 points, all at different times, I mean, come on now. You got to give a little more credit.
That's why I said. I think they can cover. They're not going to win today. It ain't going to happen. It's senior day. They're at home. Uh-oh. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. there's the preview, Carl. You're welcome. Let's play Where Are They Now? Christian Skelton. Hosting today. Reminder of the rules. The first three are in North America. The last two anywhere in the world. It's 1 point for specific league/country, 2 points for the specific team. In the event of a tiebreaker, Christian's going to give us a career path of a former or current player. He will tell us the sport. Our job's to guess where they are now. Are we ready?
We are. If I need to answer the phone first, I can do that, though.
Yeah, answer the phone first.
Okay.
That's probably important. Where are they now?
Phones are
should I talk more about Tennessee Tech and Kentucky?
You can if you okay. like. You got some time.
I think Tennessee Tech's got to get their money up, like Garrett.
Not their funny up.
Did you see this video?
No.
Zach Calzada.
Oh, is this where he was throwing up ones?
No, that was Diego Pavia.
Oh, okay.
Zach Calzada had hundreds and hundreds printed out, and then some accountant like looked at it on Twitter and said, yeah, that's about $3,000 in cash. So, not sure why he's flexing that, but...
That's rent money.
That's this month's rent. But he's like, since you don't got enough money, Garrett, you can count mine. Let's keep going. Don't lose count. And it's like just like $3,000. All right, are we ready now?
We are ready.
All right, go for it.
Okay, first up, we have Freddie Gaudreau.
Oh, former?
Stanley Cup final legend.
Yes, Frederick Gaudreau. You go first, Richard.
No, it's okay. I lost. You go ahead.
Freddie Gaudreau, I know where he was last. I'm going to say he's in the NHL still playing for the Calgary Flames.
He is in the NHL.
Well, he's got to go.
I got to go. Well, that's okay. Well, that's a point for me. All right, not too bad. I think he's in the NHL, and I'm going to go with Anaheim Ducks.
You are both incorrect. He now plays for the Seattle Kraken.
So we both get a point.
And to be fair, North America, I mean, it's probably the NHL regardless, right? This is the North America section. Yeah. I'll give y'all both a point. It's fine. It's tied regardless, you know.
Well, we got the league, so.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you think. All right, who's number two?
Next up, we have Auburn legend Jarrett Stidham.
Oh, Jarrett Stidham.
I think I know this.
I know where he was. I think he got cut by them, though. I think he's in the NFL for the... Denver Broncos.
I'm going NFL as well. Jarrett Stidham is playing for... Gotta really think about this one. I'm sorry. Atlanta Falcons.
You are both correct with NFL, but Connor is correct. He still plays for the Denver Broncos.
Still. How long has he been there? Like 3-4 years?
They cut him at one point.
Yeah.
He got drafted by the Patriots originally, I think, right?
Yeah.
And then I think he's been in Denver for quite a while. I was surprised he was still there, too, honestly. I was like, wow.
He was like the third string for New England for the longest time.
Something like that, yeah. I was, like I said, I was very surprised to see he was still there.
So I'm up 4-2. Who's Love next? It. I sound like Matt Jones.
Next up we have Luka Garza, Iowa legend.
Iowa legend. Luka Garza is in the NBA playing for the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Garza is in the G League playing for... I'm always going to go with like the Miami Heat's farm system. So Miami Heat's farm system.
Okay, so does the G League, is that close enough for the NBA or does that not count?
Count G League is a separate. It's like double A and triple A.
Okay, so the NBA.
It's its own entity.
So he is still in the NBA.
Okay.
So, and he plays for the Boston Celtics.
Oh,
okay.
And the only reason I knew that is because I was at Buffalo Wild Wings the other night. I looked up and there he was playing
there
for the Celtics.
Is.
And I was like, wow, it's Luka Garza. I forgot about him.
There he is. All right, we now move to the anywhere in the world portion of our contest. I lead 5-2.
So we come back here.
Who's next?
We have former Tennessee Volunteer, Yves Pons.
Oh, Yves Pons, Grizzlies legend. I'm going to say he went back home to play in France for... You know, some of these soccer teams have club basketball teams, too. So he's playing for Paris Saint-Germain.
I'm going France as well, and I'm going to go AS Monaco.
So y'all both got the country. Apparently, he plays for Morabank Andorra.
Oh, okay.
In Liga ACB.
Liga ACB.
ACB. Okay. So I lead 6-3.
Sounds like it's the first time any of us have heard of this league or team.
That, you know, that's the fun. It's an educational program. We're teaching the masses about countries.
Family show, you know?
Yeah.
Trying to get the kids involved.
It's a Saturday. The kids don't, they still need to learn on weekends.
Yeah.
All right, who's last?
Lastly, we have former L.A. Dodger and Cincinnati Red, Yasiel Puig.
Oh, we've had him before, but I never remember where he is.
I think I know this. I should know this. He is – oh, you first.
Oh, you go.
No, okay. I'm going to go the NBO. Is that right? The NBO, is that –
the Nippon Baseball League?
Yeah, I'm going to go Nippon Baseball League, left field for the – Kia, I think it's a Kia Tigers, right?
I almost said Kia Soul, and then I realized that's a car.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Kia it is Tigers. Kia Tigers. I think you're right. Yeah. I'm going to say he's playing in Puerto Rico. The shining star of the Caribbean was that
yes,
the one?
Yes, it is.
I don't know any team. The Puerto Rican
Parakeets.
Gauchos.
So you are actually both incorrect on the league, country, and team.
Wow.
Last year he played in the KBO, the Korean Baseball Organization.
And
he
it's played, always the damn KBO.
He played for the Kiwoom Heroes.
The Kiwoom Heroes.
So Connor wins 6-3.
Yay.
I've only won at this game twice, and I hated it. That's crazy.
I own you, pal.
That's crazy.
I own you.
You're like Davis Mills.
Look at the neck on that guy. As Robbie Stanley said earlier. That'll do it for us today here on the Weekend Huddle. Stick around. Vanderbilt basketball coming up next as they are in action in Memorial Coliseum. Also, tune in on 93.3 later today. 100 miles of hate going on over there. Western Kentucky and MTSU. Chip Walters and our friend Big Joe Dubin will be on the call for that one. But for Christian Skelton, for Nick Frazier, my name is Connor Newt saying so long. I'm going to go rest up my voice now here on 102.5 The Game.
See ya!